Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Moe's Sports Talk. I'm your host, Maurice Trice, and I'm ready to talk sports with you on this beautiful Friday in Oklahoma. It's about, what, 58 degrees outside, so I think probably made it in the 60 degrees, probably 60-plus degrees outside, so definitely enjoying the weather, but I know cold weather is coming, but we have a lot of sports to talk about on today's show. As always, there's three ways to contact the show. You can call me up at 1-646-929-0429. Again, the number to call into the show, 1-646-929-0429. You can also email me, MauriceTrice@hotmail.com. That's M-A-U-R-I-C-E. TRICE@hotmail.com. You can also follow me on Twitter @TheDukeBoy100. That's @TheDukeBoy100 on Twitter. You can also like my Facebook page. Just put in Moe's Sports Talk in the search and you can like my Facebook page. Also, you can listen to the show on TuneIn.com and Stitcher.com. That's TuneIn.com and Stitcher.com. I believe the show is also available on iTunes as well. But like I said, we have a big show planned for you today. We're going to talk college football. We're going to break down all the New Year's Eve 6 matchups, including the college football playoff matchups that start tomorrow between Alabama, Washington, and also Ohio State and Clemson. Also, we'll talk NFL, the last Sunday in the regular season in the NFL, so plenty of NFL games with playoff implications. We'll be talking about those. We'll talk NBA. We'll also talk some college basketball as well. Unfortunately, we will not have our favorite segment of the week, Chatting with Greg, but he did want me to let you know that he is picking Washington in the NFL to beat the Giants and get that last playoff spot in the NFL, so we'll see if that happens. We'll definitely go up over all the playoff scenarios coming up here in a couple of minutes. But before we do that, before we talk NFL, let's turn our attention back to college football, and let's talk about, well, first let's talk about some of the games that have taken place already, the New Year's Eve 6 bowl games. Or right now I'm watching, oh man, Tennessee just fumbled the ball. Nebraska has it now in Tennessee territory, but Tennessee is up by 2 touchdowns with about 11 minutes left to go. We'll keep you up to date on that. I picked Tennessee in that one. We'll see what happens. You know, I'm a big Volunteer fan, so we'll see what happens there. Also, Oklahoma State. I told you Oklahoma State would beat Colorado. I gave a slight lean to Oklahoma State. Oklahoma State dominated Colorado on both sides of the football last night. I was really impressed with Mason Rudolph. He threw for over 300 yards and 3 touchdowns. James Washington was big time. Both of them are coming back. The OSU defense was really good as well. I know it didn't help Colorado that their quarterback was injured early in the game, but still, that was a dominant performance by Oklahoma State's defense. They had 3 sacks. They got a lot of pressure on the backup quarterback for Colorado. They shut down the run game. They also rushed for almost 200 yards, and they held Colorado to 62 yards. So when you can run the football and you can stop the run, you can win. So nice win there for Oklahoma State. And so far, it's pretty good for the Big 12. I know TCU lost to Georgia, but Kansas State beat Texas A&M. I was surprised that West Virginia was dominated the line of scrimmage by Miami. So Miami upset West Virginia. So that's my thoughts so far on the college football that has taken place so far in the bowl season. But let's turn our attention to the New Year's Eve 6 before we talk about the before we break down the college football playoff matchups. Don't forget, if you want to talk college football, you want to talk NFL, you want to talk anything in the world of sports, you can call me up at 1-646-929-0429. Would love to hear from you. Let's break down these New Year's Eve 6 matchups. Let's start with the Orange Bowl, which kicks off at 7 o'clock today, 7 o'clock Central Time today. That'll be 8 o'clock for you guys living on the East Coast, between Michigan and Florida State. Some keys here for Florida State: can Dalvin Cook, can they run the ball effectively? That's going to be key. Can Cook run wild on the Michigan defense? That'll be really key. Can he be effective? Can he rush for 100-plus yards against the number 2 ranked defense in the country in Michigan? And also for Michigan quarterback Wilton Spleet, he has to avoid mistakes. That Florida State defense, especially the defensive line, can get after you. He has to avoid turnovers. Ball security is going to be key for Michigan in this one, but I think Michigan's defense is going to be a little too much. I like Michigan to win 27-20. Sorry, Florida State. I just think Michigan's going to be a little too tough, so I like Michigan to beat Florida State in the Orange Bowl. I know a lot of Florida State fans, Shane and Kim, might be listening. Sorry, I think Michigan beats Florida State, but I could be wrong. We shall wait and see. Also, the Cotton Bowl. January 2nd, that'll be Monday at noon on ESPN, between Western Michigan and Wisconsin. Some keys here for Wisconsin: can the defense contain the Western Michigan offensive weapons? They have a lot of offensive weapons, starting with their quarterback, Zach Terrell. He's been playing really well. Corey Davis, Franklin in the backfield. And can Western Michigan, can they protect their quarterback? That's going to be key. And can they run the ball effectively? Can they be balanced on offense against a really good Wisconsin defense, especially the front seven for Wisconsin? And for Wisconsin, the key is going to be their mental, how they mentally approach this game. They cannot overlook Western Michigan. You know, I've seen a lot of these teams that have been favored in these bowl games, especially like Florida State last year. To me, they overlooked Houston a little bit, and they got beat. Can Wisconsin come in this game with the mindset, look, we're going to have to take this team lightly, we're going to have to beat this team, and can they get the job done? I like Wisconsin to win by 10, 31-21, but it's always hard to predict if a team like Wisconsin, they're going to come in and they're going to be ready to play against a Western Michigan. It's easy for them to overlook Western Michigan. It would be easy for them to do that, but they're going to have to avoid doing that. That's going to be key for Wisconsin. Let's look at another New Year's Eve 6 game, the Rose Bowl, the granddaddy of them all. Kicks off 4 o'clock Central Time on Monday on ESPN between Penn State and USC. The keys for Penn State, they have to establish the run game. I think that's going to be a big, big key for Penn State. Saquon Barkley, he's going to have to be really, really big for Penn State. He's going to have to run the ball effectively. That's going to be key. And also, Penn State has to limit the big plays of USC. They have a lot of weapons. You talk about Jackson, Juju Schuster for USC, and then Ronald Jones at the running back position. Sam Darnold's been playing some really, really good football as of late. I know Penn State, they're the Big Ten champion. Maybe I don't respect them enough, but I like USC to beat Penn State, and I like a USC 34-24 over Penn State. And then finally, let's break down one more New Year's Eve 6 bowl game before we break down the college football playoff that starts tomorrow. We have the Sugar Bowl, 7 o'clock Central Time on ESPN on Monday night between OU and Auburn. Some keys here: can OU be balanced on offense? I think that's going to be a big key. Can they run the ball effectively with Samaje Perine and Joe Mixon? I think that would be a big, big key for OU. And also, can the defense of OU, can they slow down the Auburn run game led by Petway? I think that's going to be a big key in the football game. OU's weakness on defense is their secondary, so I think their run defense will be okay, but that's going to be a key against Auburn. And also, to me, when you look at Auburn, can Sean White and that Auburn offense, can they hit some big plays in the pass game? Like I just said, the weakness of OU is their secondary. You're going to have to hit some big plays in the pass game. Can Auburn hit those big plays? That will be key. I don't think they'll hit enough of those big pass plays. I like OU by 2 touchdowns, 34-20 over Auburn. I know OU has struggled at times in bowl games, but I think they will find a way to beat Auburn. Right now, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to listen to some music by Ariana Grande. And when we come back, we're going to talk about the college football playoff. We'll break down both of the matchups in tomorrow's big games. And for the college football playoff, we'll do all that next on Mo's Sports Talk.
The top spot title. Spent an hour in the bathroom, walked out looking like a model. God, doing what you do, got me right there with Apollo on the moon. Mooney's genies in a bottle, girl, if they already got you.
Boy, you made me feel so lucky. Finally, the stars are. Never has it been so easy to be alive and to get it.
Welcome back to Mo's Sports Talk. Don't forget, if you want to talk anything world sports, you can call me up at 1-646-929-0429. Would love to hear from you. We're about to break down the college football playoff. I do have a scoring update. A Nebraska did score a touchdown now. It's Tennessee 31, Nebraska 24, with about 10 or 9 minutes left to go in the fourth quarter. We'll keep you up to date on that. Go Vols. But let's talk some college football, and let's talk about college football playoff matchups, I should say, if I can get it out there. And let's look at the first matchup, 2 o'clock Central Time on ESPN. Number one, Alabama taking on Washington. When we look at Alabama, you have to talk about quarterback Jalen Hurts. He's a dynamic playmaker. Not a great passer, but he definitely can make plays out of the pocket. And also the offensive weapons of Alabama, they have a lot of them. I didn't talk about O.J. Howard. You talk about Calvin Ridley. Also, Adarius Stewart. They have a lot of weapons there. And you talk about the Alabama defense, physical, fast, dominant. That's what you think when you think about the Alabama defense. Defensive end Jonathan Allen, big-time playmaker. Also, linebacker Reuben Foster and cornerback Micah Fitzpatrick is a really, really good player as well. So the Alabama defense is just loaded, to say the least. We look at quarterback Jake Browning. He has thrown for 42 touchdowns to just 7 interceptions. He's accurate. He has a strong arm. And also the Washington offensive playmakers, I mean, they have a lot of them as well. You talk about John Ross, who's just a big-time speed, Dwayne Pettis. And also they have some bounce their offense with Miles Gaskin. I think he's going to be a big key for Washington as well. The keys to the game for Alabama on offense, they have to get Jalen Hurts out of the pocket and give him a run-pass option. I think that's going to be a big key because Washington, the big key for them is can they contain Jalen Hurts in the pocket. And if they can do that, they have a chance to beat Alabama, but I think that's going to be a big key in the football game. And on defense, to me, Alabama just do what they do, be physical and dominant at the line of scrimmage. That's what they do. They do that week in and week out. You can count on Alabama dominating the line of scrimmage. I mean, their front seven defensively is always big time, and it's big time again. They have just playmakers everywhere, and the secondary is really good as well, but that's going to be a big key for Alabama. Can they dominate at the line of scrimmage? You know, Washington took on USC, the closest team that they've seen that to resemble Alabama, and they were dominant. I cannot get over that. So can Washington's offensive line, can they protect their quarterback? Can they open holes in the run game? That's going to be key. And for Washington, a key for them is can they be balanced on offense? Again, can they protect their quarterback? And on defense, can they contain Jalen Hurts, keep him in the pocket, and force turnovers? They're going to have to force 2 or 3 turnovers. They're going to have some trick plays. They're going to have to gamble. Alabama obviously is the more talented team, but Washington, they have the talent. If everything falls their way and they get some breaks, that they can win this football game. They have a chance to. My final prediction on this game is, again, Washington, very, very talented. We talked about Jake Browning, John Ross, Dwayne Pettis. They have a lot of talented playmakers offensively, and their defense is solid. They have a really solid defense, especially the secondary led by Buda Baker. So they have the talent. The talent is there for Washington to win this game, but Bama to me is just too much. I like Alabama to win 31-14. I just think Alabama is going to be too physically dominant, and I like Alabama to win by 17. Don't forget, if you want to talk college football playoff, if you want to talk anything world sports, you can call me up at 1-646-929-0429. Would love to know your college football playoff predictions. Touchdown Tennessee, by the way. Some breaking news before we break down the Ohio State Clemson matchup is now Tennessee 38, Nebraska 24. So when Tennessee scores a touchdown, we've got to hear a little Rocky Top, folks. We've got to hear a little Rocky Top. Gotta love a little Rocky Top there as Tennessee takes a 38-24 lead, a 59-yard touchdown pass from Josh Dobbs. I believe that was Josh Malone who caught that. But anyway, Tennessee's up by four team. But let's continue our look at the college football playoff that starts tomorrow. Let's talk about the second game between number two Clemson taking on Ohio State, 6 o'clock Central Time on ESPN. We look at Ohio State quarterback JT Barrett. He's a dual threat quarterback. To me, he has to be more accurate in the pass game. That's going to be key for Ohio State in this football game. JT Barrett's accuracy. And also Curtis Samuel, he's dangerous in space. We saw that against Michigan. He just really helps make the Ohio State offense go. And look at Clemson, quarterback Deshaun Watson. He has a big-time arm, but he has been a little inconsistent this year at times. 15 interceptions. He cannot throw more than one interception this game if they think they're going to beat Ohio State. And also when you look at Clemson, they have a lot of offensive playmakers. You talk about running back Wayne Goldman, Mike Williams, Artavius Scott at that wide receiver position, also Tyden Jordy Leggett. They have a lot of guys who can just make plays. Clemson's offense is very, very explosive. And the keys to the game for Clemson on offense, they have to establish Goldman. That'll help set up their play-action pass. I think that'll be a big key for Clemson. On defense, they have to be sure tacklers in space. And also the defensive line for the Clemson Tigers has to dominate as well. I think that's going to be a big key. They have to cause problems. They have to do a good job of being assignment sound and stopping the run game for Ohio State. And for Ohio State on offense, they have to hit some big plays in the pass game. I think that's going to be a big key for Ohio State because Clemson's secondary is a little bit shaky. They give up a lot of big plays in the pass game. Barrett's accuracy again. He's going to have people wide open potentially, but can he hit them? I think that's going to be a big key. And can he hit some big plays in the pass game? And on defense, they have to harass Deshaun Watson. They have to get some pressure on him. They have to make him feel uncomfortable in the pocket. And they have to contain him because he's a guy who can make some big, big plays. And the secondary for Ohio State has been really good all season long. They have to be really good in this one. They cannot get beat deep because Clemson has a lot of offensive playmakers, so that's going to be a big key for them. My final prediction on this game is both teams have been inconsistent at times. We've seen that Ohio State looked really good at times, especially at the start of the season, winning at Oklahoma, but then they lose to Penn State in a game I thought they should have won. They also had another close game as well. They've at times struggled. Michigan State, they almost lost to Michigan State, a game I thought they would easily win, but they've been inconsistent. You know Clemson's been inconsistent, losing to Pittsburgh. They have had a lot of close calls against North Carolina State, which are both bowl teams, but they're not, you know, those are teams that you should easily win, and Clemson struggled against both. But I'm going to go with the upset here. I know Ohio State's favored, I believe, by 3.5. I'm going to go with Clemson to pull the upset. I like Clemson to win 28-24. I just think the offensive weapons for Clemson is going to be the difference. I think the defensive line for Clemson will do a good job of slowing down the option game for Ohio State. You know, Ohio State likes to spread you. I think Clemson will do a good job of slowing down the Ohio State run game. So I like Clemson to beat Ohio State. So I'm going to go with Alabama versus Clemson for the national championship. We'll see. Ohio State's really, really good, but I like Clemson to pull off the upset in that one. But right now, we're going to take another quick break. We're going to listen to some music we'll listen to some Jackson 5. Then when we come back, we do have a special guest. Coach Mac Brown's going to stop by. He's going to give us his thoughts on the college football playoff and also the other New Year's Eve 6 game. He's going to give us his thoughts on the OU-Auburn game and the college football playoff games. And then when we come back after that, we'll also talk some NFL, NBA, and college basketball. We'll do all that next on Mo's Sports Talk. For Chris, you know what it is? It's Coach Mac Brown of the Texas Longhorns. I want to formerly of the Texas Longhorns, I should say, but I want to talk a little college football. Please, let me answer that one for Chris. I want to talk about the Sugar Bowl. I'm telling you, I like Auburn to beat Oklahoma. Oklahoma, I would have told Ray the same thing. I like Oklahoma's had a really nice year for them, but it's going to be too much Auburn. Auburn's going to run the ball effectively, and they're going to beat Oklahoma. Sorry, Sooner Nation. As for the college football play, please let me answer that one for Chris. I'm going to have to tell you, I'm going to pick Alabama to beat Washington. There's no doubt Alabama's the better football team. They're going to dominate at the line of scrimmage. They're going to run the ball. They're going to pass the ball. They're going to do everything they want, anything they want to, and everything they want to against Washington. Washington, they're just not woke, and they're going to get beat. Now, Ohio State versus Clemson is going to be a great matchup. I'm going to go against Mo, and I'm going to pick Ohio State, the Ohio State Buckeyes. It's just going to be too much. They're going to have too much on the ground for Clemson. They're going to dominate. I'm just letting you know. But, again, Oklahoma's going down to Auburn. They're going to lose really, really badly. Well, thank you, Coach, former coach of the Texas Longhorns, Mack Brown, stopping by, giving us his thoughts on the college football playoff. But let's turn our attention to the NFL, and before we break down some of the games that have playoff implications, I did want to mention that Rex Ryan was fired from the Buffalo Bills this week. No shock there. They just didn't win enough. The defense wasn't good enough. He's supposed to be a defensive coach, and they just were not good enough. So I'm not shocked at all that Rex Ryan and his brother were fired from the Buffalo Bills. It'll be interesting to see who gets that job. They have some talented players, so we'll see who gets that job. But let's talk about some of the games that will take place on Sunday. Don't forget, if you want to talk anything world sports, you can call me up at 1-646-929-0429. I would love to hear from you. We have New Orleans at Atlanta. If Atlanta wins, they clinch a first-round bye. Also, they can clinch a first-round bye if Seattle or in Detroit loses. But I like Atlanta to beat New Orleans. I think Matt Ryan and Julio Jones, he's going to be back. I think they're going to have a field day. New Orleans defense, they really struggle. I think Atlanta's going to score a lot of points. I think New Orleans will score as well because Atlanta's defense isn't great. But I like Atlanta to beat New Orleans. Then we have New England at Miami. If New England wins, they are the number one seed in the AFC, so everything will go through Foxborough. I think New England learned last year that they want to be that number one seed. You know, they lost the last regular season game against Miami last season, and Miami still has a chance to be the fifth seed, by the way. But I think New England going on the road is going to be tough. There's no doubt about that. And that defensive line for Miami is really, really good. If they can get pressure on Tom Brady, that'll be key. But I think New England learned from their mistake of last year. I think they will be ready to play. I think Tom Brady has just been on fire. 25 touchdowns, just 2 interceptions. I like the Patriots to go into Miami and get a victory there and clinch that number one seed in the AFC. Then also in the AFC, we have Oakland at Denver. You know, Oakland's going to be without Derek Carr. He suffered a bad injury in last week. So Oakland is really reeling, but they still have a chance to be the number one seed. They can be the 1, 2, or 5 seed. At the if New England wins and Oakland wins, and Oakland's the 2 seed, they're in Denver. Denver's out of playoff contention, obviously. To me, I think a key here is the Denver run defense. Can they slow down the Oakland run game? If they can, they'll win because I think they'll put some pressure on Matt McLaughlin, I believe that's his name, the backup quarterback for Oakland. But I think Oakland's run game will be the difference. I know the defense for Oakland is shaky. They're improving. That's a little shaky, but I think Oakland's going to go into Denver and get a victory, so I'll pick Oakland there. A slight lean towards Oakland. Then we have Kansas City at San Diego. Kansas City can be the 2 seed or the I guess they could drop to the 6 seed if things fall against them, I should say. But San Diego, they lost last week to the Browns. I know in San Diego they can be tough. Phillip Rivers, they have some playmakers. But Kansas City, I think they're just better on both sides of the football. I think they'll be able to establish the run game. And Tyreek Hill has just been really special for Kansas City. Travis Kelce over the middle. I like Kansas City to beat San Diego on that one. Then finally, we have the battle for the NFC North between Green Bay taking on Detroit in Detroit. Green Bay has just been on fire as of late. Aaron Rodgers has just been just doing what he does. That man, Aaron Rodgers, he's been big time for Green Bay. Detroit, they were blown out against Dallas. They suffered some injuries, especially in the secondary. I think those injuries in the secondary will be a little too much for them to overcome. They're going to have to get a lot of pressure on Aaron Rodgers and make the Packers one-dimensional. The Packers have been running the football better as of late. Can Detroit establish a run game? And can they get pressure on Aaron Rodgers? I don't think so. I like Green Bay over Detroit. So let's recap my picks. I like Atlanta over New Orleans. I like New England to go on the road and beat Miami. I like Oakland to go on the road and beat Denver. I like Kansas City to go on the road and beat San Diego. I like Green Bay on the road to beat Detroit. Now, that scares me. I'm picking a lot of road teams. That really scares me there, but those are my picks. Let's turn our attention quickly to some basketball. Let's talk some NBA. Don't forget, it's not too late. If you want to talk anything world sports, you can call me up at 1-646-929-0429. On Monday, Oklahoma City did beat they beat down Miami, beating 106-94. Russell Westbrook, he scored 29 points, had 17 rebounds, 11 assists, another triple-double, his 15th of the season. Enes Kanter had 19 points and 8 rebounds. Alex Abrines, he had 14 points off the bench. Oklahoma City shot 51% from the field. They were plus 14 on the glass. Only 19 three-point attempts for Oklahoma City. That's when they're at their best, when they limit their three-point attempts. They're not a good three-point shooting team, but when they dominate and they attack the paint, that's when they can be really, really good. For Miami, Jason Richardson scored 22 points off the bench. They shot just 44%. They were 5 of 23 from threes was Miami. So a really nice road win there for Oklahoma City. You know, that's a road win you definitely should get against a Miami team that's really, really struggling. And then on Wednesday night, Golden State, they slipped past Toronto, beating them 121-111. Steph Curry, he had 28 points, 7 rebounds, and 7 assists for Golden State. Kevin Durant, he had 22 points, 17 rebounds, and 7 assists. Klay Thompson added 21. Golden State shot 57% from the field. They hit 14 threes. They won by 10 points despite turning the ball over 20 times. At times, Golden State's very careless with the basketball, careless passes, but they still got the win over Toronto. Toronto fought hard, but it wasn't enough. DeMar DeRozan, he scored 29 points. He had 6 assists. Kyle Lowry had 27 and 11 assists. Terrence Ross had 24. They shot just 34% from the field. So Golden State's defense is definitely improving. They're playing some really, really good defense. And Toronto, you know, they lose there, and then last night they lost to the Phoenix Suns. So that's pretty unexplainable. I still think Toronto's one of the better teams in the Eastern Conference, maybe the second-best team in the Eastern Conference behind Cleveland, who, by the way, last night they beat Boston 124-118. Kyrie Irving, he had 32 points, 12 assists. Kevin Love has been playing some great basketball, 30 points and 15 rebounds in that one. LeBron James, not one of his better games. He did have 23 points, 11 assists, and 8 rebounds, but he had 8 turnovers. Cleveland shot 52% from the field. They hit 14 three-pointers. Great ball movement there for Cleveland. For Boston, Isaiah Thomas, he scored 31 points, but Boston, they need to get more from Al Horford. He only scored 6 points, and they were out-rebounded by 17, so a nice win there for Cleveland as they continue to pace the East in the NBA. Don't forget, if you want to talk anything world sports, it's not too late. Before we talk a little college basketball, you can call me up at 1-646-929-0429. I would love to hear from you. Right now, Tennessee's up 38-24 on Nebraska. Nebraska does have the ball, 2nd and 15 at their own 12. But let's talk a little college basketball. Let's talk about the week that was in college basketball. Nebraska, they beat Indiana. I believe that was on Wednesday night, 87-83. What a big upset there. Glenn Watson, he scored 26 points. They shot 48%. They hit 9 threes, did Nebraska. Indiana, all 5 stars were in double figures. Robert Johnson led the team with 19 points, but they had 19 turnovers. They have to limit their turnovers and that one. And then I saw a great game on Wednesday night. I was glad I got to watch it. Oregon, they upset UCLA, beating them 89-87. Dylan Brooks, he scored 23 points. He had 9 rebounds, including the game-winning 3. What a big-time shot by Dylan Brooks with about 6/10 of a second left to go. Peyton Pritchard, he had 15 for Oregon. The big key for what the offensive. Now they had 16 offensive rebounds. They also hit 7 threes in the first half. UCLA did a better job defensively, especially with the perimeter defense in the second half. Bryce Alford, he scored 20 points. Thomas Welsh, he added 20 points as well. And Alonzo Ball, he had a terrible first half, but he was really good in the second half. He finished with 14 points and 6 assists. They shot 53% from the field, but they missed some critical free throws down the stretch, and also they had 14 turnovers. So Oregon's starting to play some better basketball. You know, I picked at the beginning of the season Oregon to make it to the Final Four, especially based off how they finished last season, making it to the Elite Eight. They've been dealing with some injuries, but they're starting to play some better basketball. UCLA, offensively, they're a machine. So anytime you go on the road, you can lose. Winning on the road is really, really tough in college basketball. West Virginia, they got a big road win today over Oklahoma State, blowing them out. Anytime you go on the road and you get a road victory, that is a really big thing. So there's no shame in UCLA losing just by 2 points in Oregon. That's a tough place to win. So a nice, nice win there for Oregon to start off the Pac-12. Thank you for listening to my show. Don't forget, my next show will be Monday at 5:30 Central Time. God's will, we'll be talking college football playoff. We'll talk about what took place between Alabama and Washington, and also Ohio State Clemson. We'll also talk some NFL. We'll talk about the games that took place on Sunday, and we'll also get you ready for the NFL playoffs. So have a blessed weekend. Happy New Year's, everyone. God is good. Trust in Him, and we'll talk to you next time on Moe's Sports Talk.